closely talk.
Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on May 27th, 2007. Ghostly Talk is independently produced on, it's independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to converse about all things that are paranormal. For more information, go to www.ghostlytalk.com. Tonight, we talk about practical shamanism with Katie Weatherup. Topher Young joins us to talk about UNIVCON 6, so I'm excited about that. And finally, Mick and Sylvie Avery and Gregory return to Ghostly Talk.
To listen to now,
please. I need to go someplace where I can breathe.
More accurate, balanced news coverage. Real people with real lives in your dramas and on your talk shows. And if we don't get it,
we'll make it ourselves.
Don't hate the media, become the media.
Yes.
I need to go someplace where a man can.
That's very affirmative of you, Scott Allen.
What was that? What did I say?
You said yes.
Well, I said yes as in it's such a pleasure to be back here on Sunday, May 27, 2007. This is Ghostly Talk. I am Scott L.
And I am Doug.
And Amber Rose is hiding around here somewhere. Amber Rose, are you here?
Yep.
Oh, God, this is going to be like pulling teeth tonight with you, isn't it?
No.
We were sitting here before the show going, Amber... okay, if you're going to have the headphones on, you're going to have the microphone, you're going to need to talk into the microphone. And she's like a timid little kitty cat in the corner right now. And I think you just sit. If you have something to say, just chime in, but you have to talk into the microphone, though.
I got it.
we'll make a broadcaster out of her.
Yeah, we're trying. One of these days, she'll break out of that show, hopefully. A lot going. Yeah, there's a lot. Obviously, Doug is, where are you at right now, Doug?
I am in Danbury, Connecticut.
No kidding.
I'm reporting live via the cell phone, the magic of cell phones. And, Danbury, Connecticut, we flew out here. I flew out here with, of course, our very own Bonnie, who is actually sitting on the same deck as me. But she is over there absolutely looking completely relaxed.
Oh, my God.
So, yes, and she's relaxing. And then I'm watching through the window of this fabulous house that we're at. I am watching the ghost man, Sean Burris, and the demon hunter, Nathan Unpronounceable. They're setting up for the Ghost Man and Demon show.
Really?
Yes. So this is just a magical, like, dual show weekend, I think.
So are you going to be on their show tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time?
I believe I am, if they can get the cable connection going.
Okay. So, wait, Sean's there with you guys, too, huh?
Yes.
So they're actually going to do a show. I mean, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is a unique show because, if I'm correct, these guys live in opposite states. You know, they do the show together. How's everything else out there?
So far, so good. We've had fantastic weather. Of course, Nathan and Chrissy are hosting us this weekend. They're allowing us to, like, crash at their place and tear it up, or their places and tear them up, I should say. And we did some cool things. We went, for example, to Union Cemetery, I think it's called. That's the infamous case of the White Lady. As reported and investigated by the Warrens,
mm-hmm.
Ed and Lorraine Warren. And we drove down that twisty, windy, curvy road that the white lady is seen walking on. And, of course, Nathan related us the story. And he does it so much better than I possibly could that I'm not going to attempt. But I have to say it was just incredible to be there because it's a part of paranormal history.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And to be there was just incredible. It's a smaller cemetery than we expected, but definitely interesting. We took during the day, we took daytime photos. We did not go back at night. We hear that nighttime there is patrolled and very, very much, enforced. The you know, nothing after dark or open dawn to dusk sign is enforced. So we didn't go back at night, but it was definitely an interesting place and a very historical place in that, you know, the Warrens had investigated the case of the white lady, the haunting of the white lady up and down that road and originating from that cemetery.
Excellent.
So very, very fascinating. We did that. That was our paranormal stint, I think. And other than that, we've been visiting, laughing a little bit here and there. Okay, a lot. And just having an incredible weekend, and food-wise is incredible. Bonnie cooked last night for everybody, and Bonnie cooked. She made her infamous
taco salad again.
Taco salad is her trademark.
That is
her trademark. That is the thing. When people think of taco salad, they instantly think, "Oh my gosh, Bonnie's taco salad!"
Uh-huh.
Right. This was a little bit to the side of that. It's going to become her trademark if she makes it a couple more times, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Another trademark. It's enchilada casserole.
That just sounds like it'll stop your heart on consumption.
Oh, it's absolutely divine. And it's got all good. It's got deep. It's got fantastic ingredients. The ingredients are even they are Doug approved.
Oh, okay.
Ingredients. With the exception of I, of course, am attempting to do this diet thing. So I have to say, I didn't even tell her, but I got with Gore Girl of the Demon and Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Uh-huh.
Gore Girl is who does the movie reviews on their on their show. And Gore Girl had a plate of this, and she was basically moaning in ecstasy. And even though I'm on a diet, I leaned over to her and I said, "Gore Girl, I've got to try just a forkful." And I did. And I have to say, since I started this diet, I have been 100%, or I should say 110% pro-diet.
Uh-huh.
And that forkful was nearly, it really, truly could have been, you know, the apple in the Garden of Eden. it truly could have pushed me over, and I could have just eaten up the entire rest of the pan. But instead of looking like a cow, I decided, okay, I'm just going to go back and eat my meat, you know, because Atkins is mostly meat.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And that's what I did. But yes, it really, really could have, it is that delicious. I did try it. And
what a way
Bonnie,
to spend Memorial Day weekend. This is amazing.
Well, that's it. It's Memorial Day weekend, folks. It's the time to start thinking about things like hanging out with friends, going out and ghost hunting when you can. It's time to start thinking about togetherness and fun. You know, you can get out of the house now.
Yeah.
If you're looking for permission, I give everybody permission. Get out of the house. Go visit somebody. Go to a cemetery in the daytime if it's got hours posted. Go to a haunted road. Go to, have dinner at a haunted restaurant or lunch at a haunted pub. Do these things, because then when you're locked up for them couple of months in the winter, well, at least in the northern states, we are here in the United States, but you need that release. And this weekend I've had that release. And I got some sun today, earlier. As a matter of fact, I got a telephone call from Magnus Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing, too, because he woke me up. I was sitting on a lawn chair on Nathan Unpronounceable's lawn, and I was in full sun. full sun,
because
I'm trying to get some color in my skin. And, well, what happens is, I was 1 hour into this nap in the full sun, and had Magnus not called, I probably right now would have been, you know, applying aloe lotion to my entire body. So instead of being on Ghostly Talk. So, you know, I got some sun this weekend. We're flying back tomorrow, which is actually Memorial Day.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're flying back tomorrow, and that's going to be pretty much an all-day event.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth it. It is totally worth it. I have had a blast, and we've talked so much paranormal,
mm-hmm.
and we've talked so much non-paranormal, you know, just getting to know each other, because usually we're at a conference.
Yeah.
By the way, that's where we met. Nathan.
Yeah, that's where we met him at the CPRI conference last year.
Last year. So it's been just over a year that we met Nathan.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, we had met Sean Berth before that.
Well, I thought about that, actually, Doug. I mean, I Sean and Nathan of Ghost Man and Demon Hunters show. I mean, those two guys are working together now, and it's really funny because it's I guess Ghostly Talk was kind of the glue there, you know, because I find it fascinating how people can get together and do things like this. And those two guys met through us, and now they're doing this show together. I think that's just so cool.
Oh, I think so, too. We were talking about the synchronicities involved this weekend, because I was talking to Sean, and I said, you know, what's interesting is I absolutely never write an email. Speaking of which, Jamie, I am attempting to craft you an email. I really am. So, Jamie, sit tight. I promise to get you something in writing soon. I love you, Jamie. So, anyway, I rarely write an email. And Sean had emailed me a long time ago. And, you know, he's saying, like, blah, blah, ghost, blah, blah, ghost. And I thought, you know, oh, that's interesting. I wonder, because you and I were talking at that point in time about groups.
Yeah.
You know, we had our own issues with groups, and there still seems to be issues with groups. I'd like to see somebody fix that in the next year or two, but, you know, groups are all fighting and blah, 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 and I want to see an end to that.
Yeah.
But we wondered together, you and me, Scott L., what are the benefits of groups? Why do people join groups? And we come up with some good ideas. People join ghost hunting groups, obviously, for, you know, to learn about what ghost hunting groups do and how to ghost hunt and to have access to people's ideas and hopefully make friends with like-minded individuals and be part of something bigger than each individual combined. And get out there and get stuff done, you know, and I absolutely love that. But at the time, both of us were wondering, because we had some bad, negative kinds of things happen with us in groups.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were wondering, you know, what do people get out of it? I get this email from Sean Burris many years ago now, and he was, you know, with the Indiana group. So I'm like, well, let's do this. I'm going to dash him off an email in response. And I said, yeah, ghost, blah, 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 ghost. And then I said, I have a question for you. And I just shouted out to him. I'm like, why are you in a group? What good does it do you? What, you know, are you excited about having access to more hauntings? Because groups tend to get more haunting, you know, investigation opportunities than an individual.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a group of friends. You know, what about access to equipment? Do you guys typically, you know, hey, that's a really cool camera. Can you show me how to use it in case I get one? I just made up all these scenarios that you and I had talked about previously.
Mm-hmm.
And he answered back, and that was the beginning of what ended up being, you know, hopefully what will be a lifelong friendship. So, and I never write emails. It's extremely rare that I will write an email. And do you know what? We've been doing this show. This is our sixth year of broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a phone call.
You're getting a phone call?
Yes.
On the other line?
I'm getting a phone call. No, on my cell phone, and I'm talking to you.
Who would be calling you at this time?
Well, this would be the people who know the most that I do the show from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Who are the people on the planet who are intimately familiar with my schedule?
Well, they may think that you're like, you know, because you're out of town this weekend that you're not doing the show.
Oh, so, that could be.
So that I would give them, awesome. I would give them some leeway on that.
That is true. I do have to call them with, you know, I do have to call them with my updated itinerary and stuff anyway, but I'll do that after the show. So what hopefully will be a lifelong friendship started with just an email in return. Mm. And that was just so bizarre. And then I happened to, now you remember last year I had a vacation planned and I went to Gettysburg for my vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's my personal vacation. That was what I took off of work. I made all the arrangements, et cetera. And I had invited Sean to go with me. And of course he couldn't do the entire time because of, you know, his work schedule, but he says, yeah, I can go, like, starting Wednesday-ish. So I went and picked him up in Indianapolis. We went to Gettysburg and had, you know, 5 or 6 days of the most wonderful vacation I've ever had in my entire life. And except for maybe when I was a kid, when I wasn't paying for vacations. Now, those were pretty cool.
Mm.
But when you pay for a vacation, this has got to be among the best.
Yeah.
Going to Gettysburg with your bestest paranormal friend on the planet from another state. And so what happens is he went with me. We happened to be talking to Nathan, and Nathan came down to visit us in Gettysburg for, it was either one night or two, I don't remember.
Yeah.
But he came down to visit us in Gettysburg. And that's how Sean and Nathan met.
And when are they getting married?
You do know that Sean's hopefully soon to be fiance, but right now girlfriend, Chrissy T, listens to Ghostly Talk, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What?
So I don't think she'll have a problem with that.
I'm sorry, I meant Nathan.
Oh, you said, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't even notice that either.
Nathan's girlfriend, Chrissy T, does listen to the show every single week, so hopefully she'll come down here eventually, because I'm at the same house she's at right now. Come down here and, like, you know, give me an invitation. But I don't know. We're looking for it.
Well, I gotta say,
the paranormal blowout on the planet. When
I gotta say, we had quite a weekend here too, Doug. You know,
I did hear from you earlier.
Yeah, well, you called earlier. We talked. Yeah.
While I've been laying around in the sun and visiting with all my friends and you know, going to one cemetery. Well, actually, we went to two cemeteries. But, you know, while I've been doing that, you have been absolutely kicking it.
Well, yeah, it's
back
it's,
in Michigan. Well, tell first, me what you've been up to.
Well, first thing we did actually this weekend was that, you know, the new closet doors here in the Haunted Winery studio. You know, those the wooden doors we had that I picked up for the new studio.
Yes, I do remember.
Those finally got a fresh coat of white paint, so they look like real doors now. They don't look like
awesome.
Like a half-made Pinewood Derby car. I mean, it's like it looks like a real closet now. I got that going yesterday. On Thursday, our dear friend of the show, who was recently on the show, actually, Fat Jesus.
He helped us out with
our April Fool's joke.
April Fool's Day. Yeah,
yeah. Fat Jesus and Tina and Scott Binkowski from MFPS. By the way, local people here, I'm just going to throw this out here because I really haven't pushed this on the show. MFPS, my old band. I play our tunes every once in a while on the show. We haven't been really a band or been together for 2 years now. We're actually playing, we're doing a one-off show next weekend at the Hayloft in Mount Clemens, Michigan, on Saturday night, June 2nd. So if you guys want to come and check that out, hang out with us, whatever, feel free. Come on up, say hello. But, yeah, June 2nd at the Hayloft in Mount Clemens, Michigan. MFPS, our buddies, a band called Facture, real good friends of ours, and another band called Hobbs Device, who actually broke up, too, along with us. But they're back together to play this show, so it should be pretty cool. Anyways, enough with the exploitation stuff. We did do this closet door thing. It came out pretty good. And then we were actually rehearsing for this show this past Wednesday, and Fat Jesus was at our rehearsal. He's been hanging out rehearsal and stuff. And he's like, hey, what are you doing on Saturday, man? And I'm like, the usual things I do on the weekend, usually sit in front of the computer or watch The Sopranos all weekend. So that's been my thing for the last couple of months. He's like, well, a friend of my friend is filming an independent movie. And I'm like, ooh, independent movie. That, my ears perked up, right? And I'm like, so yeah, what's that have to do with us? He's like, well, it's a zombie film. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I always get a kick out of zombie films. He's like, well, do you want to be one of the zombies? And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'm like, you know, well, Amber's going to be here. Can Amber come and be a zombie too? He's like, yeah, we can bring anybody we want. So we're like, let's do this thing. So he called the guy up and said who he had coming out. So the actual people that went with our crew was, you know, myself, Ambrose, Tim, his girlfriend Tina. It was the four of us, yeah. It was the four of us that went out there. Now, when you travel with Fat Jesus, one of the things you have to do, well, and this makes sense in the end of it. I think you'll see the logic, Doug, that, you know, when you go anywhere with Tim, you cannot really go there unless you have a cocktail with you. That's just kind of how Timmy operates, right? So
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
I have noticed that over the years.
But you know, the thing was, I was kind of into it. Generally, I'm not much of a drinker anymore. I don't party that much. But I was really kind of into this idea. Because Tim and I discussed it, and I'm like, well, okay, wait a minute. We're going to be zombies. He's like, well, yeah. And I'm like, okay. So I think it should be almost an imperative thing for us to have cocktails there. So I think they're going to make us looser and more kind of jiggly and whatever. You know, because zombies aren't exactly the most coordinated beings out there as far as, you know, as far as, like, I don't want to call them people because I don't know if they're people anymore, but they're not very coordinated.
Former people.
Yeah, former people, okay.
Right.
They're not very coordinated, though, from what I've seen, so it makes perfect sense to maybe have a couple cocktails before you do something like this. So on the way up there, we stopped at a party store. I had my evil blue cooler, and we filled that full of beer, and we had Amber and I, we had our what is it? When did we buy that last bottle? It sits in the refrigerator for like months on end. That was the one. That wasn't from the 4-year anniversary party, was it? We got rid of that one.
Halloween party.
Halloween party. Okay. So we've had that whole bottle sitting there for what, 6 months now, 7 months, something like that almost. So we brought our gin and threw it in there, and we got over to this place. Now, yeah, this is the craziest part, Doug. We drive out to the country, basically. We missed our mark the first time coming through because there was, like, this was being filmed at a house, right? And we missed the address because there really wasn't a house right there. But there was a sign with an address. So we turned back around, saw the address, and made a left turn in the driveway. And I'm like, well, where's the house at? And all I see is this big, long road, right? And I'm like, and I should have, right then, it put the hook in me where I was like, my God, what kind of, how big is this house, right? I look to my right, there's a personal lake. This owner of this property has his own lake on this property.
Wow.
We go a little further in, we pull up to this house. It is the biggest log cabin I've ever seen in my entire life. This house was built like a log cabin, but it was absolutely like a mansion. It was just huge, right? The guy had, the place is so big, he's got his own golf carts to drive around the property on. He had two golf carts to cruise around with. So we're like, I get out and I'm literally like, the four of us scruffs do not belong in a place this nice. It's like, you know, I'm like, and the director walked up, and was like, hey, nice to meet you guys. And, you know, Tim and him talked and stuff. And he's like, all right, cool. You know, we're waiting on the makeup guy.
Just like, I found your zombie.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt was like, we're waiting for the makeup guy to get here, so just hang out and whatnot. So we hung out and got to talk to a few people. And, you know, when you go to a house the first time with somebody's, you're always kind of like, you know, all right, what can I do? What can I do? And we were just kind of all standing there like, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to do anything to offend the owner of this property. I'm really, you know, we were really all kind of nervous about that.
That shows good respect.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And for a place as nice as this, I mean, that's all this guy deserves is respect. The owner did come out, though, because Ken, our new friend, Ken, evil Ken, he added me on MySpace today. I saw that. Ken, how you doing, man? If you're listening, it's really great. It was great to meet you last night. Ken comes up, and here's the makeup guy. He's got all his stuff. And we go in the garage, and the first person to get sit down is Tim, Fat Jesus, and he goes to work on him, right? You know, and Ken's sitting there. He's got his little iPod going in one ear, and we can hear it just, like, you know, slam. You know, what are you listening to? Oh, I'm listening to Slayer. Well, Doug, you know we're all going to get along then. Now he mentioned the word. He mentioned Slayer.
Yeah.
So the conversation, you know, as he's doing all this amazing work to Tim, you know, we're talking about music all night. And the owner of the house comes out. He moved his truck over, so we'd have more room to move around and stuff like that. Real nice guy. I didn't get his. You know, I got to get these people's names. But the owner of the house was such a nice guy. I mean, I couldn't tell him enough. I'm like, you have such a wonderful house here. This place is beautiful. And he said, oh, thanks. We just bought it a couple of years ago. You know, but it was like a beautiful home. To make a long story short, though, we got the beverages going, right? we started with our beverages, and the rest of the night.
Loosening up for the shoot.
We loosened up. We all got our. I'm going to have pictures up on the site. I have one picture. Timmy and Tina had a camera. I'm gonna get more pictures and put them up on the site because we all got made up like zombies. I mean, with the fake blood, you name it, the whole shot. It was amazing. And Timmy and Tina did a shot with them. I guess they were on a road, and Tim was dressed up like he came as like the zombie rock dude because he brought an old beat up bass guitar that he doesn't play anymore. And Tina dressed up as like the rock groupie zombie or something like that. And then they made me up like, what is it? They slashed my face with a pitchfork or something. Looked really good. And we shot some scenes. We shot a bunch of scenes out there. We shot them during the daytime and at nighttime. And by the nighttime shoot, I know we were all inebriated. we were all feeling pretty good. But in between that, we got to all talk, and I got to talk to the people who are acting in the film, the people who are directing and producing the film. I got to talk to the owners of the property, their family and stuff. We were all in the garage. It turned into a garage party after a while. We were all just hanging out and having a good time. And, you know, of course I talked to them about Ghostly Talk, and we all got into a pretty, intense conversation about that. But man, it was surreal, Doug. I gotta say, I mean, it was one of those things that you didn't expect it to be as fun as it was going to be. And I remember like turning around to Amber, kind of going, "Is this really going on? This is a ball. I mean, I can't believe this is so cool." You know, I mean, Wednesday we're just kind of sitting around hanging out, talking. And next thing I know, Saturday we're being filmed as zombies.
That is totally cool. Hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is that an independent film?
It's an independent film, yeah.
And are we going to keep up with it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I was actually going to try to have Matt, the director, I told you before the show, Doug, I actually emailed Matt, the director, this morning, but I think they were actually filming again today, other mm-hmm. scenes, and I don't think he's checked his email yet, because I was going to have him come on the show tonight for this first half an hour and kind of talk to us and stuff, but he's got a lot going on. Very busy guy. All the people were wonderful. I should have, but everything was so crazy. I was going to like actually take a piece of paper and a pencil and write down names. But of course I couldn't do that. We were all just like having too much fun, but I will get all that stuff. We're going to follow up. We're actually going to go back and shoot again with these guys. I think in July, that's what they said, right, Amber? They're going to be, yeah, we're going to be going back and dressing up as zombies again and shooting in July with the same people for the same film.
Oh, that is amazing. Don't forget, though, our next couple of months are very interesting.
Oh, I know. It's planned. We're planning on doing it, but if something comes up with the show, I got to do the show. So.
True.
But it sounds like we both had a heck of a weekend, man. It was crazy.
I think so. Yes,
We got about 1 minute, actually.
Okay. Coming up, of course, in 2 weeks is the West Virginia State Tennis.
The Mid-Atlantic Paranormal Conference is going on, and I got to talk to Brendan this week finally about.
And are we going to have him on the show?
Yeah, he's going to be on the show. I think next weekend he's going to be on the show. We'll be talking to Brendan Skeen.
Then, of course, right after that, 2 weeks after that is another one. Another thing that we're doing, right?
Oh my God. That's Troy Taylor's event.
That is the American Ghost.
You know, I do have this paperwork in front of me. I don't know why I'm not. Yeah, the Haunted America Conference is coming up the weekend of June 22nd and 23rd.
So everybody, during the break, dig out your calendars. 2 weeks from tonight, or 2 weeks from this weekend, is in Moundsville.
West Virginia State Penitentiary.
The conference. And then 2 weeks after that, of course, in Decatur, Illinois, is the American Ghost Society Conference. All of these things are linked up at www.ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah, real quick also, Just because you're going to hear something. This is going to be funny. We got to go to break like really quick here, Doug. But the next we're talking to Katie Weather up next, right?
Yeah.
These are pre-recorded. We don't do this very often, but these are pre-recorded, right? We couldn't get them to come out on Sunday, so we decided to record these interviews. The next two interviews, Katie Weatherup and Topher Young, we talked to from Katie's from 6:30 to 7, Topher's from 7 to 7:30. These were pre-recorded. So just because we said, the only reason I'm saying that really, and I'm not pulling a fast one over anybody, is that Doug's out of town and we're obviously talking on the phone right now, and Doug was in the studio for these interviews. So I think people would smell something fishy.
Oh, they'll notice.
Well, yeah.
I think even during the thing we're saying, well, we're just recording this and doing it later, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did the hard work a little bit ago, and now we're going to play it so that my cell phone battery, I need to recharge my cell phone battery during these two interviews so that I can come back
for Mick and
for
Sylvie
the
Avery,
last
yeah.
hour and a half for mm-hmm. Mick and Sylvie Avery. Everybody, listen to the independent music that we play during our breaks, because that's all independent music. Support independent music, and I know I do.
Yeah.
And support independent films, evidently now, because I know Scott L does.
Oh, and I do. All right, guys, we're going to go to break here. Enjoy the next hour as we kind of all, for a change, relax on a Sunday night.
And then we'll be back live with Mick and Sylvie Avery and hopefully Gregory as well.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely.
After the next two interviews. And also, if I forget to say it later, happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day, absolutely. Guys, we're going to break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
We'll be right back in a little while.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? Karma Cast has answers. Check out karmakast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
Hi, this is Chris from Crossroads Paranormal Radio. Tune in to Mike and I every Sunday night at 10 Eastern, live on Blog Talk Radio. Join us at www.cprshow.com as we discuss various paranormal topics and interview members of the paranormal community. Crossroads Paranormal Radio, breathing life into the paranormal community.
Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
Ghostly Talk would like to welcome Katie Weatherup to the show. Katie, your website is www.handsoverheart.com. Handsoverheart.com. What an absolutely fantastic website to grab, because it really does. It seems to be kind of encapsulate who you are and what you're doing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I considered Dharma light, but that seemed like karma with half the consequences. So hands over heart was definitely the way to go.
Out the gates, here we go. Awesome.
Ba-dum-bum. I have to, that's awesome. Yeah, trying to pick even a show name. I mean, our Ghostly Talk and ghostlytalk.com, it's sort of, it no longer encompasses all of who we are.
I found out years ago that I was a geek because of this reason. And yeah. You'll get a kick out of this too, Katie. I was watching TV one night with my sister, and I saw some commercial for something or whatever, and they showed the URL, the email, the website address, right?
Right.
And it was a four-letter website address.
Yeah.
We've had this discussion before.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And I look at the TV screen, and I'm like, wow, they got a four-letter domain name. Erica L., do you know how hard it is to find a four-letter letter domain name? And she looks at me, and she's like, you are a nerd.
but I do. I love Hands Over Heart. It just means so much. It has so many connotations. It's actually very beautiful.
Thank you.
You do, obviously, healing and things like that. Somebody also said that you either are a shaman or studied shamanism.
So I call myself a shamanic practitioner rather than a shaman.
Okay.
A couple of reasons with that. One of them is that really central to my message is the idea of empowering people and connecting them in with their own spirit guides. You know, shamanism is not something reserved for the few, the privileged, the very talented, but it's something that everybody can access. So when you start throwing words like shaman, it sounds very mysterious and very exclusive. And I like shamanic practitioner because that just conveys sort of the area of my interest without implying that somehow it's something mysterious and inaccessible.
I have a confession. Mm-hmm. That's actually something that I've been thinking of. The word shaman does sound very exclusive because obviously, you know, the village shaman or the tribe shaman,
yes.
You know, there'd be one every generation. But I have to say, I happen to know people who describe themselves as shamans or have studied shamanism and I do get along with them. They're friends, right? These are good friends to the show, good friends to me personally,
mm-hmm.
Including Tom of GLPR.
Oh yeah.
And Great Lakes Paranormal. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, I don't think I completely understand it because when I hear or see the word shaman, and I'm so glad we got to talk to you today because this is going to help straighten me out. when I think of, you know, huts made of mud and bones through the nose and you know, and beating on the drums and stuff like that, I think I really do picture tribal shamanism.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you've brought, obviously, with Practical Shamanism, A Guide for Walking in Both Worlds, you've modernized that image a bit. You've had to in order to make a book out of it. So
yeah.
Why do I picture that? Do most people picture that, or am I a throwback because I'm so old?
No, I think a lot of people picture that because the roots of shamanism are all of the indigenous cultures. We are borrowing their technology, their techniques, their ability to connect with the unseen world, and that does come right out of all of these indigenous cultures with the mud huts and everything else. And what I've done is, and what a lot of people in the shamanic community have done, have taken that sort of technology for connecting with the divine and talking to spirit guides and put it together in a framework in a way where it can be accessed for the modern world. So instead of having to have an apprenticeship where you spend 10 years, on vision quest and these sort of things, you can come to a class for a day and learn how to move yourself into an altered trance state and gather information and all that good stuff. And what's really powerful about sort of shamanism for the modern Western technological society is we deal with just enormous amounts of complexity. There's so much stimulus that we have to take in and process, so many demands, so many different levels, so many experiences available. And shamanism, as I practice it, is a very powerful way to be able to filter through some of that stuff and make sense of it. I see a lot of people who are asking the question, you know, what is my life purpose? Where am I going? And part of that points to, wow, there are just so many options. How could I possibly decide?
Mm-hmm.
And shamanism can be very valuable for coming to knowing your inner truth in a very clear way and being able to check in, you know. Really, you know, wow, there are all these people, there are all these options, there are all these relationships, there are all these activities. What's really going to nourish me? What's really going to keep me in balance?
Well, I think that's what a lot of people yearn for nowadays, especially, is a sense of direction. I think, well, I'm 32, and I still don't know where the heck I'm going, to be honest with you. I'm like, who am I? What do I do? I mean, people, I think that's one of the number one things people are looking for as far as enlightenment or self-actualization in this day and age. It's just a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging, you know, and that can explain a lot of the problems I think we have on this planet today, is people just don't feel like they belong anywhere, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I get asked that question all the time. The funny thing is, the answer that tends to come back is, you're here to work on these energetic lessons, and when you achieve them, you'll be in the world in such a way that your guides don't really care if you end up working at a grocery store or, you know, giving lectures to thousands of people. It's an embodiment of energy, is a lot of what people come here to do and come here to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, that's part of why we don't have such clear signposts as far as this is your career, this is what will make you happy. It's more clear signposts of these are the core lessons that you're working on, and if you can work through some of these things and come to a place where you've mastered them, that's where the happiness and the joy and the fulfillment tend to come in.
Do miserable people, because there are miserable people out there in the world today.
Yeah, you're talking to a couple of them.
Yeah, you're talking to one right now. No, the... Do they, because I run into miserable people all the time at work, et cetera, et cetera. Do they choose that? I mean, are there spirit guides telling us, screaming in our heads, saying, hey, you don't have to be so miserable?
Well, there are always spirit guides saying, hey, you don't have to be so miserable. There's always choice. Some people come in with some really heavy-duty karma for a variety of reasons. You know, the earth, from what I keep seeing, and again, this is only my framework. Shamanism is all about a framework for understanding the unseen world. But with this framework, one of the things that we're fundamentally doing on planet Earth is experiencing the use and misuse of power to figure out, hey, what's this power thing all about? And so we play with all different connotations. We play with war, we play with abuse, we play with, you know, all sorts of darker energies, as well as the much lighter and more beautiful, loving, wonderful energies. And sometimes people choose a life that has a lot of difficulties because they're balancing it. They've been on the side of playing the abuser, and now they're experiencing being the victim. It's not karmic in terms of, well, you're punished and now this bad thing's going to happen to you, but it's more like rounding out our souls so that we have all the experience. But within that context, there's always choice, and you've probably run into some people who are very, very unhappy and really don't have all of that bad external lives, and that tends to be somebody just kind of struggling with the same lesson and trying to make it go away in the same way every time rather than trying and bringing in some new things.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who seem to have come here for the purpose of experiencing suffering, and that seems to be what they're creating in their lives no matter how many gifts the universe tries to give them.
Well, thank you for explaining that, because I've asked myself, I ask Doug this all the time, like, why do people make themselves, they do these things to themselves that always make them so miserable down the road? I mean, they don't think that, what I always say.
Well, a lot of people can't see farther than the end of their nose.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
People think about as far as their nose comes off of their face, it seems like, right? And they don't look down the road a little bit and go, you know what, if I just take it easy right now, things are going to be much cooler. It'll have more longevity. I'll be able to do things that I want to do later on. I might have to struggle a little bit right now, as opposed to this impulsive nature people seem to have, where they don't think about the future. They don't think about their actions. They just do them, and they deal with the repercussions as they come along.
For example, this is not a negative thing, but it's actually a positive thing in a weird way. But I had to learn from my youngest brother that planning early is going to make college for my nieces, in this case, a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I had gone to college, went through college, and my youngest brother went through college, and paying for it was a pain in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
For all of us. Yeah. For my parents, for us, it was just a pain in the neck. So my youngest brother, he's 9 years younger than me. You think I would learn these lessons before him? Nope, nope, nope. He paid attention evidently that day in school or something, and he says, no, we got to set up the funds now, and we'll just put 25 25 a weekend or something like that. And you know, not much, but it builds over time.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I couldn't see that far in the future. A lot of people don't see that the consequence for that action is going to be so incredibly powerful in the future. And it really doesn't, it's not hurting me or him or anybody, the $25 here and there. It's building over time, and you, that's how you can build if you start thinking further out.
Well, that raises
difficult.
That raises an interesting question for Kay, though, too. We said we weren't going to ask you questions, but you got us really, really interested here, Kay.
Okay.
We told you before this is what's going to happen. Now, here, within a person, you say that people, they come to this life, into this plane of existence, to experience, to learn, to grow, right?
Yeah.
To experience these different, you know, if even somebody who comes in and who is miserable now, who may be abusive in this lifetime, they may have had a lifetime before or a lifetime after this where they have a very loving life. So it makes them a well-rounded soul. Am I correct so far? I understand. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure I have the foundation. Is it possible for a person to experience multiple times? I mean, I'm sure it is, where people experience multiple characteristics through one lifespan.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, people are just taking on so many more life lessons now because the energy's speeding up, the vibration's getting higher, things are speeding up. So one of the ways that you see this manifest is in terms of romantic relationships. You know, we look at it and we go, oh, no, the divorce rate is so high. This is terrible. Relationships don't last like they used to. And I look at that and I go, this is so perfect. It used to take a whole lifetime to learn everything that you had to learn and explore with that person. But now, because we're learning lessons faster, we're experiencing things faster, we can complete our life lessons with someone in, you know, a week, a month, a year, a couple of years.
Okay.
And be complete and ready to move on to the next thing. And there's a level of that that's exciting. And so,
yeah, really. Is.
Yeah, so people feel like, oh, I failed. This relationship didn't last a lifetime, where their guides are going, yay, gold star, you made a life choice. You know? Good job.
Well, the reason I asked that, Katie, is, I mean, Doug was talking about it took, you know, it's kind of flip-flop for us because, like, Doug was saying, like, you know, it took him to learn from, you know, many years ahead, you know, because Doug's about 90 years old right now.
Yeah.
Right? So he's up there, right?
Yeah. I'm going into the triple digits.
he had to learn this idea of longevity, forward thinking, a little bit later in his life, whereas I have been obsessed with this idea my entire life.
Absolutely true.
Up until, like, about 6 months ago. And I'm kind of like, living my life, not day-to-day. I mean, there's always future planning. But I'm kind of letting the chips fall more as opposed to me trying to control things so much, right?
Right.
So I'm, like, kind of experiencing two things there where, I mean, and that's a heck of a change, I have to say, too. But don't even get me started on that. But, you know, there was this idea where all I did was think forward, and now I'm kind of letting things just – I'm kind of laying back a little bit more and letting things happen. Those are lessons, I think, that you kind of have to learn, even in this lifetime, to be a well-rounded individual.
Absolutely.
Just here, you know.
Yeah, I think it's funny because you're putting your finger on two very important things, and it's like you're both right. Yeah, it's important in the day-to-day to think about where you're going, you know, to have that touchstone of what is really centrally important to me and am I really moving toward it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, that state of surrender, like, you know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. There's this level of opportunity where things could go totally different ways. One of the sort of central premises that I work with is this idea that when you ask the universe for something, there are three answers you can get. One is yes, boom, you get it. Two is yes, but not right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not time yet. And the third one is, you know, I have something so much better for you. And those are sort of the way the universe is working for us. The trouble is we keep asking for all sorts of a mixture of things. Like the classic one is somebody who really wants a relationship and at the same time, you know, they got really burned in the last one, they're ouchy, you know, and so there's this equally strong part going, no, please don't ruin your relationship, whatever happens. And those parts are in absolute complete conflict. They're sending one signal out to the universe, I want to meet my partner, I want to meet a soulmate, I want this person to come here now, and the other part's going, please don't bring anybody in. My life is just starting to get back on track. And that's a lot of what I work with in my individual sessions is looking at people's blueprint and essence and what are they telling the universe to manifest so that what they're telling the universe to manifest is in line with, you know, what will really serve them and feed them and nurture them. And so, I've been more in the camp of, yes, long-term planning. I have everything planned out, but I was planning on being an engineer in full-time instead of a shamanic practitioner, so I'm really familiar with the just following the flow part.
It sounds like you went to the station and the entirely different train showed
up. I mean, I was just going to say that. I mean, mechanical engineer,
engineer to shamanic practitioner.
I mean, yeah, that's like night and day.
You'd think it is, but actually they're surprisingly similar. All of my engineering skills apply to the work that I do with people's essence. It's just, it's the same kind of thing. Oh, wow, this isn't working quite right. Oh, okay, there's this big energy insert here that doesn't work. Wow, they have this hole in their field. Let me go and fill that hole. Oh, wow, this pain tracks back to, you know, this abusive relationship with the father. Let's clear that, unhook it from that time, and bring it into the present so that they're no longer having this energetic conduit. Oh, wow, okay, we've got a nice big, you know, strong, solid energy essence to this person, much like you would do in engineering. Oh, gosh, the bridge fell down. What do we know about bridges falling down? Next time we want to make it this way. So.
Katie, I find that so fascinating because what I spend, I think, a lot of my waking hours doing is wondering, as far as existence goes, I mean, I don't want to go too deep into the pot talk here, for lack of a better term, but seriously, I think about this, like, Doug just had to turn the mic off. He lost it. What I'm saying, though, Katie, is I think a lot about this idea, like we were just saying, like mechanical engineer, shamanic practitioner. I can't pronounce the word correctly, but
shamanic.
There you go. Thank you. To us on the outside, we're like, wow, these are like two totally different things. But you just
it's
had
a
Eric
lot
explain.
Like paranormal in general.
Well,
it all seems to be related.
Thank
somehow.
You. There you go.
All the skills are
systems.
There.
Systems.
It's like the build up. The building blocks are all there. It's just what does it look like when you're
systems,
done?
Systems. Everything.
You're the artist. And Katie's art was to take these skills, these building blocks, and assist people instead of buildings and make them stand up straight and tall.
Yeah,
she's making people stand up straight and tall.
One of the things that we read right at the very beginning of this discussion was something that I found very interesting. When you said the human spirit is a highly complex system which can break down in complex and subtle ways. I find that very important because, like I was saying, systems. Whether it be information systems, whether it be the engine in your car, whether it be the exhaust system in your house.
It could just be as simple as a club. You think of a club as a bunch of people coming together to watch a show.
But it's a system.
But it's a system. It's a system of interacting parts.
And that whole idea.
Those break down a lot, I tell you.
That concept of a system, whether it be, like I said, with a computer or an automobile or with people in general, dynamics with people, I think there's some glue there that they all are related again. They all work the same way, but it's just a different context.
Absolutely. I just find it tremendously more fun to get to make people more whole than, you know, keep water out of enclosures and make things go on hold.
I don't know. They need you down south. Evidently, the levees are breaking like crazy.
I'm good with somebody else doing that. But if you want me to talk to the weather.
Oh, there we go. There we go. The weather's a system. We have to...
We need to have a talk with Mother Nature, Katie. There's something definitely wrong here.
That's another
concept of kind of the idea of tap on the shoulder versus boot to the head. You know, we tend to our guides want us to get our lessons in the gentlest possible way. So they start out putting them in very gently, and as we don't get them, they escalate just enough that we go, oh wow, this isn't working. I need to do something else. And for some people, that's I stubbed my toe. Okay, I take a deep breath. I know I need to slow down. Mm-hmm. For other people, it's, you know, surviving the car accident that they shouldn't have been able to survive as this huge wake-up call of, okay, time to, you know, stop drinking or change things around in my life. And, you know, with the natural world, I think there's a big lesson there that Mother Nature really is bigger than people. There's so much power there, and we tend to want to harness nature for our intentions, and it's more about just understanding that the system will work on our behalf if we're in right alignment with the world. You know, the world will nurture us. And that's a lot of the traditional use of the shamanic techniques is being in alignment, being in harmony with the natural world so that you can say, hey, we need some rain for these crops, and have the universe move to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And a lot of that comes down to, again, I think, of just kind of, I mean, as far as nature is concerned, I think you just said it wonderfully, not trying to control it as far as nature is concerned.
Just suggest to it. Winter be about 60 degrees all year.
Yeah, yeah.
Folks who've read Practical Shamanism, A Guide for Walking in Both Worlds, do they apply this in their daily lives, and are they able to empower themselves to grow spiritually and as a person?
It's been my experience from the feedback I've had that yes, absolutely. There are a lot of levels of tools within the book, from everything from here's how you do a shamanic journey to go talk to your guides and meet your guides and get to know them and connect with your power animals, and down to, you know, how do you cut the energetic cords with other people when a relationship is finished or you find that someone is, you know, in an energetic relationship that isn't good, and how do you express your anger in a way that you're not putting that out into the world but you're allowing it to flow through, and how do you embrace aspects of yourself that are kind of dark and embarrassing with shadow aspects like your anger or, you know, your sexuality or anything that you may have decided is not something you want to put out in the world. So there are a lot of different levels and layers to it, and it's really good for somebody who this is the first metaphysical book they ever pick up, as well as a lot of things that people who've been on this path for years have said, oh, wow, that's so cool. I love how you said this. It really put a couple of the pieces together for me.
How interesting. I'm feeling Bonnie's going to get me that book. Because she says something like, you go into these tizzies over nothing. I mean, my cell phone wouldn't make a phone call once, and I'm like, well, that's it. I'm just not going to call them now. And she's like, what an overreaction. She's like, set the phone down and call them later, you know?
I have to mention, and this is, we have this in our notes, like when we discussed this before, Katie, I have to ask you about soul retrieval before, because we only have a couple minutes here. Now,
touch on healing, for healing, you know, spiritually. But.
Well, I'm excited about soul retrieval, because the first thing that popped in my head was, okay, we're bringing James Brown back, right? Is that what's going on here? Please tell me James Brown is coming back. This is what you mean, right?
Yeah, not so much, but
bummer.
You can't talk to those who have passed on, but anyway, soul retrieval. I love soul retrieval. Basically, what happens to people as we go through traumatic experiences, relationships, etc., parts of our essence, the part of us that transcends the physical experience, get separated. And it's a natural protective process. If you're in a car accident, you don't want to be 100% fully present in your body having the experience. It would be too traumatic, and you never want this essential part of yourself to get damaged. Mm-hmm. So part of that energy will leave. Psychologists talk about it as dissociation. Shamanic practitioners talk about it as soul loss. And the process of soul retrieval goes and gathers those pieces of essence. Oh, you were in a car accident when you're 8. Okay, we'll bring that piece back. Oh, your mom ended up with a piece trying to deal with her experience of soul loss by taking your part. Okay, we're going to bring back her part and get yours for you. Oh, left behind with, you know, the ex-husband or the ex-wife. Okay, we'll get that back, you know. That will allow you to really release the relationship. And when you bring these parts back, it's a very subtle and very powerful healing that allows people to just feel really solid in themselves, really able to deal with things that previously would have been just absolutely overwhelming. They become much, much easier to deal with. And there's just a sense of solidness, knowing your truth. It's great for symptoms like depression, anxiety, feeling scattered, feeling not all there. In severe cases, soul loss can cause feelings of being suicidal. Everything gets kind of gray, no real highs, no real lows. Life just isn't that exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the kind of things that receive a profound healing through a soul retrieval session. And what's so cool about it is I can address all experiences of soul loss in one session. So it's not like you have to do a whole series or you'll be in therapy for months. It's something I can do in one session, which I love.
Well, that's always
that
good.
Sounds so absolutely incredible. I love it. Katie, your website is hands over heart.com. And your book, of course, Practical Shamanism.
Yes. And if people sign up for my mailing list on my website, I'll do a free power animal identification for them. So I'll email them back and tell them what one of their power animals is.
I think mine's a hippo. Just big and lazy and sits at the bottom of the pool.
That's me, too. A couple of hippos.
I think we got a couple of hippo.
What sound does a hippo make?
I think mine goes, eh. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. That's,
I have
the Jerry Springer hippo.
Whatever. Whatever.
Katie, we have to thank you so much. It's been wonderful talking to
thank
you.
Thank you so much. I've learned so incredibly much.
Stay on the line. Don't leave us just yet. Stay right here.
Alrighty.
We just want to go to break or do something like that.
Excellent. And we'll be right back with Topher Young of PennStatePRS.com.
We're going to be talking about UNIVCON.
UNIVCON.
UNIVCON 6. Really excited about that. We will probably be going there this year.
I hope so.
We'll be right back after
we'll
this.
Check it.